Welcome to episode 77 of Life with Mitty. Today, I interview Evie Dave, who has been sharing his EV experiences since 2018. With almost 600 videos on YouTube and over 17,000 followers, I know you too will want to get to know Evie Dave, and you'll know more about him today. Today, I had the pleasure of meeting Evie Dave in person. I've been following him since 2020, when I first heard about him lending his Model Y to Kyle Connor. I wanted to know more. Who is this guy who would lend his brand new Model Y to Kyle Connor to test and to try out? Well, I found out very quickly that following Evie Dave was a good thing for me as an EV enthusiast. I learned a lot. I thought I understood everything there was to know about EVs, but in watching Evie Dave tell his stories of his experiences, I continued to learn more and grow as an EV enthusiast. I want to thank Evie Dave for giving me his valuable time for the interview today. Submitting to an interview with someone you've never met before can be risky. He didn't know ahead of time the questions I was going to ask, and I usually don't give too much advance notice on what those questions will be, except in cases where it's an industry expert and they need to bring some facts and figures with them. In this case, I wanted to have that more personal interview, and I got it sitting inside his R1T Rivian as it charged at Nissan's North American headquarters in Franklin, Tennessee. I'm sure you're going to enjoy listening to this interview as much as I did interviewing Evie Dave. Here's that interview. I have the privilege of sitting in Evie Dave's Rivian right now. And we're going to ask some questions and find out from Dave. He has been in the EV industry and sharing his experiences on YouTube and other platforms for years. And I've always wanted to ask him a few questions. So in this episode, we're going to ask some questions that I think you're going to enjoy. So Dave, let me first ask you, what got you started with your interest in EVs?
I am an embedded software and hardware engineer, and I've always loved tech. I've had cars from forever as internal combustion engine cars. A buddy of mine, Lee, as folks on my channel know, it just insisted that I go and find a Tesla store and take a drive, which I did in 2016. It was December of 16. I drove a Model X, one of the very first ones before AP2. It had AP1 cameras. I drove it. And that's one thing that I'll say. You can tell people till you're blue in the face about electric cars, and they look at you like you're just some kind of weird zealot. Now, I'm here to tell you, once you drive the car, and this probably includes most EVs over an internal combustion engine car, it does something to your mind. You make the psychic connection of why an electric car is that much better.
For me, I started, as my listeners can recall, I started with a Chevy Volt just because I wanted to get a taste of the technology. That was way back in 2013. Then I did a Nissan Leaf for 2.5 years because I wanted to have that full EV experience. I couldn't afford a Tesla. But back when the Model 3 was first announced, I got my $1,000 in because I wanted that car. I waited 2 years, 1 month, and 26 days and got the Model 3. And so I've been driving Teslas ever since. And just I'll never leave the experience of an EV. So you have driven a number, in fact, you've owned a number of cars. What first got me interested in you is when you lent your 2020 Model Y, which is what I've got. You got one of the first ones, and you lent it to Kyle Connor.
Well, tell me a little bit about how that happened.
Well, that's kind of an interesting story. Once I got into driving electric vehicles, I really got the interest to drive all of the electric vehicles. I wasn't too interested in driving an early Leaf. They were just way too short range. They were just not what I was interested in. But once I drove the Tesla, I got the bug. And my buddy, Kyle Connor, I've known him for a while. A lot of folks don't realize that I owned the Pikes Peak car that was the fastest Model 3 up Pikes Peak in 2020. We beat 23 of the Expedition class competitors, including Randy Post, who unfortunately crashed the car because of the turn. I think maybe he might have been a little aggressive on his practice run.
This is news to me. I'm just, listeners, I am literally grinning from ear to ear listening to this.
Yeah, so I sponsored the car, and how it happened is my wife and I watch Now You Know with Zach and Jesse, and we're sitting there, and they said, yeah, we're looking to find a car to, we've met a driver, Blake Fuller, and we're going to attempt to do a crowd-sponsored Pikes Peak run in a factory electric car. Now, you can go all the way from stripping it to the nuts and bolts, and then it's not a production car. We were in the production car class, which means the only things we could do is we had to put a roll cage in it. So we carefully removed the interior and built a roll cage. We could change the brake fluid. We could change the brake pads, and we could put sticky tires on it. And that was the extent of the mods that we could do in the production class car. So we started this with the Now You Know guys, Zach and Jesse, and we had a huge number of sponsors that came through there that paid $250 to put their name on the car. So Blake Fuller is a really good driver. He had taken his Model S up and held the record until the Model 3 and became our driver. And he drove it successfully up Pikes Peak, and we were the fastest Expedition class in all of the cars. And how we did it was quite interesting. So back to your question. I met Kyle Connor because he was friends with Zach and Jesse, and he originally allowed us to take our car, the Model 3, which was a 2018 performance, around the test track in North Carolina. And that's where I met Kyle. Awesome guy, awesome driver, and as you know from Out of Spec, just an awesome guy. So that was our Pike Peak adventure, and that's how I met Kyle. Now, how did I loan him my 2020 car? I was looking for a Mach-E. And it looked pretty interesting. All the sales data indicated it was really great. And he found one of all places in Kearney, Nebraska, which he worked the deal. I paid for the money and I drove up there in my 2020 Model Y. I do things with my friend in Wyoming every year, a couple times a year or so. I drove the Mach-E from Kearney, Nebraska to Ogallala, Nebraska, where we switched, and I let him drive the Mach-E, and I took the Model Y to Wyoming. And then when I came back, he had driven it all over hell and gone and made lots and lots of videos. I'm not sure everybody knew it was my car. I think he only
Some of us
it.
Did. I knew that.
That's a good thing. So he drove the Mach-E everywhere in California and everything. And so then he drove the Model Y back to my house in North Carolina, and I drove the Mach-E as well. So we ended up getting both vehicles back to North Carolina after that.
All right. So one final question. It's really a two-parter. So I know that you've owned a lot of different EVs, and I want you to kind of list those out a little bit. And then give us a little bit of your impressions about where you think the industry is going and what you think people should be, if they are interested in buying their first EV, what they should be looking for to make that decision.
Okay, so this is a long list. So in 2016, I bought a 2017 Model X with AP2 autopilot. I used that for quite some time. The Model 3, the one I talked about that went to Pikes Peak, I bought in 2018. That same year, my wife did not want to drive a car. She had been driving a fossil fuel car at that point. And it was a hybrid, but a hybrid, as you know, is just a gasoline car with a tiny battery. She liked driving the Tesla, and she wanted one of her own. So I bought her a 2018 Model S, and she liked that because it had the binnacle and it was more used to what she was used to. So after the Model 3 became available, my daughter, who graduated college, and same with my son, I bought them both a Tesla Model 3 because they are the safest cars on the planet. So if you're going to put your children in something, because you can't get more children, you need to make sure that you put them in something that has the best crash rated, and that is a Tesla, bar none. So I bought those guys the car. And then I got the idea that I was going to buy a Mach-E. And I bought a 2022, I think it was, Mach-E, what do they call that? The blue one, the initial edition. I don't know what it's called. So I bought the Mach-E. And I kept that for a while, and then I bought, I'm trying to think. So
yeah.
I gave my Model X to my son-in-law because his wife can't have a Tesla, and he can't have a Tesla. But it was a plan because I wanted the new 2020 Model X with all of the improvements. So that's how you do it, to pass along what you have, and that's the excuse. So my son-in-law had a Model X and my daughter had a Model 3. So then after that, I decided I wanted I'm losing track.
You've had so many.
Yeah. So my wife really liked driving the Model Y. So I got the idea. You know, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Model S, and I've got a place in Nashville. I think I was going to keep the Model S in Nashville because it has unlimited supercharging. And my son-in-law takes some long trips. So the excuse was, hey, we better leave the Model S in Nashville. So I did. So my wife got to drive my, I forgot in there. Gee whiz, see, I told you it was a long list.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, so when the Model Y was first introduced, I believe it or not, was on a trip up in Wisconsin. And I went ahead and purchased a 2020 Model Y, brand new. I was 5 minutes into the reveal. And it got delivered, one of the very first ones on the East Coast. And I drove the heck out of that. Being 6'6", it is the same height as the Model X. So to get in and out of it was easy for a big guy. And it's a huge amount of room in a Y. So I drove the Model Y everywhere. You've probably seen my videos everywhere. So
yep.
I gave my Model Y to my wife. We moved the Model S to Nashville. And, of course, if you get rid of your Model Y, what do you got to do? You got to buy a new Model Y. So I bought a 22 Model Y. Okay, so now I have a Model Y. And my wife's got a Model Y. And I still have the Model X. And, oh, yeah, I forgot. When I sold the Pikes Peak Model 3, I had to have another Model 3 because part of my hobby was autocross, where we race around parking lots, and I couldn't have had my friend beat me. So I bought a 2020 Model 3. So there you go. That's the, if you don't count the Cybertruck that I have on order and a Roadster that I have on order, that's all the Teslas I've bought.
And of course, we're sitting in the R1T Rivian that you bought as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I have a diesel truck, a F-250, and I decided to replace it with a Ford Lightning because, you know, it was really an exciting looking vehicle. I bought a Ford Lightning, and then I had that for a while, and then the Rivian really looked good. I drove Kyle Connor's Rivian, and it set the hook, and I finally ordered a Rivian, and that's what we're sitting in here now.
So that's a lot of EVs. I would call that a plethora, or maybe a charge of EVs is what you call it. For
a gaggle?
A gaggle of EVs. Yeah, I don't know. But with all of these cars and all of these vehicles that you've experienced, what would be the takeaway? What would be the things that you would advise someone new to getting an EV? What would you say they should consider?
Oh, that's an excellent question. So let me explain a little bit about I've been very fortunate enough to have all these EVs. I keep getting asked why and how I'm able to do that. Well, I will say that my bank likes me. So it enables me to do what I want in that respect. However, I do good with these vehicles. I end up giving them to needy people or selling them at a very low price to move it on. So let's talk about what I've learned with all of these vehicles. Part of the problem, in my channel, I put people in the driver's seat a lot that have never been in an electric car, and you tell them all you want, and until they actually drive it, they get the feeling and they understand why an electric vehicle is so much better than a fossil fuel vehicle. But where I'm going with all this is what I've learned is being a techie. First of all of the new cars have some form of touch screen. I would bet that most of the listeners have some, smartphone or tablet that they've learned to use their finger to navigate. And they are not scared in the least about their tablet or their phone. All these new vehicles have some form of touchscreen. There are some legacy ones like the Ford Mach-E and the Lightning that have a lot of legacy stuff where you have knobs and buttons and switches that you never touch or use, but apparently it makes the people do their thing. Overall, the best EV feature is not how fast it goes or not how smooth it goes. But what I found was the charging network is the key to a choice of buying any EV. And why I say that is most charging is done at like 90% of the time in your home, maybe an extension cord, maybe a wall connector. It's not a charger, a wall connector that charges your vehicle that allows you to charge up and be ready to go in the morning overnight. Well, the problem with any car is if you get the call that you have to go to Aunt Mabel's and maybe she's fallen and you got to go, what are you going to do in your electric car? Well, if you have an old Nissan Leaf, you're not going. You're going to have to take another vehicle. But if you have a vehicle that has an excellent charging network where it's reliable, that's integrated into the car so that the car knows where each and every charge stop is, makes that trip ubiquitous. You just get in it and drive. You don't even think about it. Back in the fossil fuel days, there was a gas station on every single corner, and you did not worry about it. With a good charging network, you don't worry about it either. The car will not let you run out unless you completely ignore it. So the number one EV feature is an excellent charging network. And I will say, and this, of all the vehicles, I've had Fords and Rivians and Teslas and all of them, the Tesla supercharger network is above all integrated into the car, which completely makes a decision of buying a Tesla the correct choice.
Well, thanks very much, Dave. My goodness, you've given me a half hour of your precious time today, and it's been my pleasure to interview you. And this was a joy for me just to sit in the Rivian with you and spend some time. So thank you very much.
Doug, thank you very much for meeting me here, and it was great to meet you and your wife. And thank you for asking the hard questions. And I will say, before I go, a shameless plug, be sure to check out my EV channel. It's EV Dave on YouTube. I'd love to have you as a subscriber. Thanks, Doug.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to all of my listeners who continue to follow me at LifeMitty on Twitter. And of course, you can always email me, lifewithmitty@gmail.com. You can also find me on Clubhouse at LifeMitty and occasionally on the Wisdom app for an EV Q&A. Always remember to empower others. You'll never live life on empty, and I'll talk to you next time.